Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning?
All right.
I'm just thankful that we have a mighty name of Jesus that we can trust in this morning.
Amen.
You know, the word says that if two or more are gathered together, he is in our midst. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
I just want to start out with a verse before we start this morning. And it should be on the screen. It says, it's Psalm 28, 6 through 7. Let's read it together. It says, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him." How many know that we serve a mighty God this morning? Well, if you're ready to worship him, let's just stand. Let's give him all the praise and all the glory he deserves. Amen? Let's sing through you.
Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will see. Through you the dead will rise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heartstrings, I am free. And I am free. And I am free to run.
Say, we are free. Blessed be his name. Well, blessed 4th of July weekend. Can you believe it? We are 244 years old. You look great. You look marvelous. And I'm so glad you're here as we celebrate, as we recognize who rules and who reigns. Amen. And let's go before Father. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. Because you give us freedom. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Father, we ask that everything said and done will glorify your name. There is none like you, Lord. And, Lord, will you just speak to our hearts today as we focus on spiritual freedom, spiritual dependence. God, will you just draw us closer? Lord, you be with those in need today, those sick, those who need your touch. Need your a fresh word. God, we ask this. Touch your people as we worship you in spirit and truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
We're going to teach you a new song this morning. How many has heard the song Lion and the Lamb? Anybody? Well, the chorus goes, our God is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. How many know He breaks chains this morning?
That's right. Amen. Amen.
No matter what we're going through, we serve a mighty God, and His word said that nothing's impossible. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Let's lift your voice. Let's just praise the Lord for a second. Lord, we are thankful, Jesus. Lord, we're here to give You all the praise and all the glory that You deserve, Lord, because Your word says that You will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. We know that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's praise Him. Let's give Him all the glory. Amen. Amen. Sing, He's come.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break. His broken eyes declare His grace. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring.
So
open up the gates, make way for the King of Kings. Our God calls the saints, it's here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring.
Sing us together. Who can stop?
For who can stop the Lord Almighty? For who can stop the Lord Almighty? For who can stop the Lord Almighty? For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Let's declare this morning, church.
For who can stop the Lord?
Thank you. Oh, Oh, there is power in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're to declare your praise and all your glory, Lord. And we know that no one is like the Lord. Let's just say a quick prayer before we keep worshiping this morning. Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, Lord. We want to thank you for another day where we can rise to give you praise, Lord, and to honor you, to honor your name. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord, to give us a new day. Lord, just help us to trust you more. Help us to be that light that you've called us to be, Lord, to share the great news of your great love, Lord. And that we know that there is no other name but the name of Jesus, Lord, the only name that can give us the proper peace, Lord, that can give us the proper protection, Lord, that who rules over depression, who rules over any diseases or any viruses or anything that may try to stumble us from the relationship that we have with you, Lord. Lord, just help us to rise up, Lord, to build your kingdom, Lord, because you have the kingdom that will never fall, Lord. That we serve a mighty God and there is no other name but the name of Jesus, Lord. Can we just say there is no other name but the name of Jesus? There is no other name. There is no other name, Lord. We're just here to give you all the praise, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Let's just continue to worship him this morning.
I'm gonna shout for joy, and at the mention of your name, I
till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship, and I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship, and I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship, and I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship, and I've come to worship. We've come to worship you. Let's just take this moment to sit in his presence for a minute. If you have anything upon your heart, Lord, let's just give it to him this morning. Will it be something that needs a healing or a situation that needs to be resolved? We know that nothing is impossible for God. I just want to pray for your people this morning, Lord, if they have anything upon their heart. Help them to know that there's nothing else we can rely on but you, Lord. Because we know you are the true way maker, Lord. You are the light in that darkness, Lord. And help us to be the light in this fallen world, Lord. To share the good news of what you've done for us. How we can share that testimony to people, Lord, to give them a hope that you offer peace, Lord, that you offer eternal life, that there is more than just what the world offers, but all the gifts that you have for them, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. And let's sing this together. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. And he is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Sing, he's jealous. He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree. But when all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how The voices now. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yes, he loves us.
Can you just give him some praise for his great love that he has for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you bless his name and thank him for his deep love? His love that is always there for you and to you. He's a great God and he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Maybe you're here today and maybe sometimes you look in the mirror and you just don't feel loved. Maybe you look at some of your flops and failures and you say, you know what, God, I don't know why you even love me. You know what? In spite of ourselves, he loves you. He loves you. As my granddaughter said to me on a situation, she said to me, Grandpa, this rocks. And I say, you know what? You rock in Jesus. God loves you. God loves you. You're based on the rock. You need to realize that you are loved. You are loved. Those that are watching through the internet, you are loved. It doesn't make a difference what people say to you. How many have heard some negative things as growing up? People saying things and just downgrading you and just every time they get a chance to pull you down. But you know what? Jesus has called us to, and lifted us up and to know who we are so that we can walk and become everything that he wants you to become. You got to know. Someone say, I'm loved by God. Say it like you really mean. I'm loved by God. We're going to sing that chorus one more time and just make it your own. Make it your own. Make it your own because you are loved.
Yes, he loves. Oh, how he
Hallelujah. 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 Look at someone and tell them you're loved. Look at someone and tell them you're loved. You're loved. You're loved with the everlasting arms, the scripture says. You know you are loved. God is good. And all the time, God is good. There are so many people who need your touch. Those on our prayer list, and we're going to continue to pray for those that need a touch of God. There are so many. And so we're going to take a moment right now just to ask God to touch each name, each person upon our hearts, each family situation, every circumstance and situation, because God's greater. And if God so loves us, guess what? He's involved with us. Amen?
Amen.
Because he who God is involved with, he loves. God loves the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whoever would believe on him would have everlasting life. Isn't that nice to know? Father, we are so grateful. We thank you that you are our healer. You are our strength. You are our deliverer. In you we find our salvation. Will you touch those who have need? You do the miraculous, God. Man may say one thing, but God, you have the ultimate say. And so, Father, as we walk by faith and not by sight, will you touch each name, each situation, each family, every request. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Can you give God praise in the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. And I am so glad you're here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here. Well, this morning I want to share a little message. We celebrated 4th of July yesterday, our wonderful time, 244 years as a nation. And I don't know about you, but I don't really just celebrate things just because we're supposed to. I celebrate them because they're important. And so I pray today you're challenged. I pray that we're helped in the Spirit of the Lord. But I'll tell you one thing that's really powerful is that we have a lot to be thankful for in our nation. We really do. We right now are under all different things going on in our nation. And as I look at this, we are a nation who's crying out with many needs. And I believe that the church is the answer for the day in which we live in. And when I mean church, I mean the whole body of Christ, recognizing that we really do have the answer. Because each one of you here who had a relationship with Jesus and been transformed by his renewing power has a message. Someone say, I have a message. And I just want to let you know that when we look at our world today and we see the struggle that they're in, we see so much criticizing of everything. And it kind of like, no nation is perfect. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Okay? Every nation has a history because in that history are people. And in those people, they make decisions. And so we live in a world today that everything is scrutinized and to the point where now we're trying to take away our past history and take away God. And when you do that to society, the Bible says, blessed is the nation that the Lord is their God. When God is displaced, and then the history of what God has done in a nation is starting to be displaced. Let me tell you something, saints. There's a lot of things taking place in Scripture that God said. And I want you to also know that this is where the church needs to rise up and recognize God's going to do a work. So I want you to keep that in prayer because it's important. On July 2nd, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was written. And I brought it. I was just at the Independence Hall last night. I borrowed the Declaration of Independence. So just for today. And so I got to be careful with this, they told me. And so here is the Declaration of Independence, the original. Just play along. But how many people who have never read the Declaration of Independence or our Constitution? Inside this Declaration of Independence, there's at least five references to God in the Declaration of Independence. In our Constitution, there is no references to God. But there's a reason for that. I'll let you guys do the homework for that. But I'm going to just put this here for a second because we want to talk a little bit about this to understand that we have a physical freedom. Someone say physical freedom. We have a physical independence. God has given that through men and women who are willing to sacrifice and give of themselves. When I look at the Declaration of Independence, and I go through this, you know, quite frequently every year, and I read new things because it just moves me. And sometime back, I read this, and it's always changed my heart. Out of the 56 individuals that signed the Declaration of Independence, that put their life on the line, they did not do that for themselves. They were doing it for the people to come. I want you to get this, that everything that was done in the present, as they were putting their wealth on the line, as they're putting their lives on the line, as they're putting their family on the line, they were all in. Someone say all in. But it wasn't for their benefit. It was for the benefit that for those that would come after them. Now, just think for a second. How about if we lived in this like manner, that everything we did was not just for our glory or for our benefit, but we did it to benefit those that would come in the future, our sons and daughters, grandchildren that come after, our families that come after. It causes life to be lived differently. But out of the 56, five were captured that signed this. Five were captured by the British Army, and they were tortured. Five out of the 56. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. Two lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Others had their sons captured. 9 out of the 56 fought and died from wounds of hardship from war. Carter Baxton of Virginia, he was a wealthy trader, had many ships. All his ships were blown up by the enemy, and he died poor. He put his life on the line, signed his name, and was all in. Thomas Nelson, you've heard of that name, I'm sure, on the Battle of Yorktown. British Cornwallis took his house and used it as a way of planning and scheming for the war. And Mr. Nelson said, blow up my home. He died bankrupt. I'm telling you, individuals that lost all in this whole Revolutionary War, this whole aspect of trying to find freedom, not just for themselves, but for the future, paid a price. Now, I know it's so easy for people now to care less about the past, but when you forget your past, you destroy your future. And that's with a lot of things in life. And so this morning, I just want to give you a little foundation of a physical freedom that have been given by men and women throughout the ages, that today we're beneficiaries of that. And we need to be thankful for that, because God has been involved in that deliverance. One of the things that I was moved was by John Hart, another person who signed the Declaration of Independence. He was at his bedside of his wife while his wife was sick. And then because of threats, he had to leave his wife. A month later, after living in the forest and living in caves, he came back to his wife being dead and all his children were dispersed. Couldn't find them. I think he had quite a few children at that as well. 13 children. Couldn't find none of them and eventually died of exhaustion. I'm telling you, you see, they were people who were all in. I want to challenge you today. What are you all in for? What are you really all in? Where area of your life are you ready to say, you know what, God? Whatever I have, it's yours. Whatever I can do, I'll do it. Being all in. We're eventually going to do a series called All In. It's been on the books for some time. But I'm stirred, I'm moved, and literally changed, because living life all in, to me, is the only way to be happy in the Lord. Because you finally find your niche. Because you're all in. Those who signed the Declaration of Independence were all in. Let's read from that document that made such a difference in our history. It reads this. We therefore, let me just change that there. Yeah, okay, thank you. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assemble, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. I want you to get this. They're appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. And that word there, meaning that our righteous act that we're doing, that our moral act that we're doing, Lord, we're looking unto you. We're appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. They're acknowledging God.
Doing the same, and by the authority of the good people of the colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are of the right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved of all allegiance to the British crown and all of the political connections between them and the state of Great Britain, is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may have the right to do. Now listen to this last verse. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, you got to catch this. In their wording, they're saying we are no longer going to be dependent on Britain, but now our dependence is on God. Did you catch this? Did you see the transfer? And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. This is huge that God did this work with individuals in the beginning, these forefathers, individuals that were all in that wanted liberty. They wanted to be away from the bondage. I want you to think about something, because all of us here have been given a great gift by individuals who have served this country. I have people in my family who have died serving this country, who are no longer with us today. Families that suffered the effects of no longer having the vessels in that family because of war. You see, so many individuals critique everything, but they haven't felt the loss. You know, things mean something to you when you feel the pain. If a plane crashes and you hear it on the news, but you know nobody on that plane, you say, that's tragic. That's terrible. But if someone's on that plane, you take that whole accident in a whole different way. That means something to you because a loved one was on that plane who is no longer with you. That plane accident is not just news. It has now touched your life. You see, I think for all of us, when something of pain touches our life, we see it differently. And I think we need to really look at who we are as individuals, first as a follower of Jesus Christ, and secondly as a citizen of the United States of America, and realize what responsibility do we have to be part of the solution, to help the problem. Because I believe God has help for those who want to do so. Listen to this. When 1,700 years before the Declaration of Independence, plus 17 plus years before the Declaration of Independence, God himself was declaring independence for you and I. Someone say, praise the Lord. I want you to think about this, that before God formed everything you see and that you know, God had a plan. God always has a plan. He has a plan right now for your life. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. You don't have to get all miscombobulated because it's not working according to how you want to do it and where it should happen and all this and that. You need to trust God. Someone say, trust God. So more than 1,700 years before the Declaration of Independence, there was a declared promise in Genesis 3:15 that the Lord was going to come and fulfill and crush the authority of the enemy called Satan. But when Jesus came, we find this in Luke 18. We find Jesus saying this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to recover the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to his attendants, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, the scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing." I want you to understand something. This is really, really important, is that everything that Jesus did, he declared for you and I to understand he'd given you freedom. But many Christians are not walking in the freedoms that God has given us. Many Christians have just got so many things attached to them that they don't really understand what freedom really means, how to breathe fresh. Have you ever been to a point in your life where you sit down, it's been a long day, and you sit down and you just enjoy the scenery and you take in a fresh air and you go, ah. Yeah, anybody know what I'm talking about?
I see one, two hands. Yeah, isn't it great to take in? You just. So many of us don't even know what the spiritual freedom that God has given to us. We're like the moths of the day. We're so tense about everything. We're so worried about everything. We're so uptight that we can't even enjoy maybe a sunset, maybe a sunrise, maybe the birds singing in the trees. I was up early this morning on my patio, and you know, once one bird starts, it's like communication. Every bird wants to sing. Wait a minute, I'm going to sing too. And before you know it, the light's just barely breaking through, and the birds are already tweeting. We don't want them to tweak. So here we have this promise. Here we have this promise from the Lord, and God declares it. This book was written about 700 years before the prophecy took place for Jesus right here. Today, this word has been fulfilled. I want you to get this. This is good. Because freedom from the law, freedom from penalties, freedom from sin, freedom from judgment, freedom from death. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Freedom. But why is it that sometimes we look at our problems and all we see is the problems and we don't see the person who's working out the problems? Think of this. 700 years, this was given to Isaiah. Jesus is now reading it that long after fulfilling what God said would happen. Let's look at our lives for a second. Look at a situation in your life. Maybe look at a situation that you've gone through. Do you believe that God knows exactly what was going to take place before you knew it took place? Yeah, he did. In the omniscience of God, all-knowing God, God knows more than you know. Now, I know we sometimes don't like that, and sometimes we don't even think it's true, but it is true. God knows more than we know, but in the process, when we look at Jesus fulfilling these words, it teaches us something. Our nation has gone through a lot of problems over the years. Our nation has gone through viruses, gone through plagues, gone through a war, gone through all types of things. And you know what? When we as a people will bring God into the situation, God will show up and show off. But it always determines on what are we going to do. So church, I'm going to tell you that a lot of responsibility relies on you because you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's right, it's you. I know you're saying, I don't want to. That's not my responsibility. I don't want to do that. No, too late. You're it. When you became a born-again Christian, when you allowed Jesus Christ, you are the answer to the world. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of stuff out there. So Jesus gives us this incredible portion here. I want you to understand Galatians chapter 5. It is for the freedom that Christ has set us free. Someone say, set us free. Now, wait a minute. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So if Jesus has given you spiritual freedoms, how often do you think about those freedoms? Or do you allow the problems of this world, of this earth, and what you see on the news, and what about this, and what about this, and you allow people to get you angry? I tell you what, I'm going to do my best to not do a little thing here, but I'm going to give you a little thing. I'm going to try to stay controlled. When people criticize and find fault, I kind of chuckle. Nobody's perfect. Would everybody want to agree with that? So that means we have imperfect vessels criticizing people who've done something. I want you to understand something. We're all imperfect. We all have faults and failures. And anybody can find fault with anybody, period. You know, the reason why we have so much chaos in the world is very simple. God has been displaced. God says, love the Lord. We'll get to this a little bit later. Love the Lord and love others. You cannot love others if you don't understand what the love of God is. You can't do it. You're going to fight. You just because today we live in a world, if you disagree with somebody, they call you a hater. If you disagree with somebody, they call you their enemy. I don't know about you, but disagreement's good. If you don't believe me, look at your own relationships. Look at good friendships. They've always had people in their lives, strong character. They've always had people in their lives who are willing to tell them something they don't like to hear. You know, if you live with people who are just going to tell you what you like to hear, you're going to be a one-week person.
But you can have people in your life can tell you the truth in love. Someone say in love. Not to hurt you, but to help you. That's a whole different. That's not criticism. That's constructive help. I love you. I'll tell you a story. So I had a person one day come up to me, and my zipper was down. Okay? And they come up to me and they said, hey, I want to tell you, your zip is down. And they felt like they, you know, they were tough to tell me that. And I'm like, thank you so much. And he said, why are you thanking me? Because, see, a lot of people would just leave it. Don't tell me. But people who care will show up and say, hey, listen, you know what? They'll be able to tell you something because they care for you. This is important for you and I to understand. Jesus cared so much for you that he gave us so much evidence so that we would walk in a spiritual freedom. But if you're going to adapt to this or get addicted to this or, you know, get bitter because of a bad situation or get hurt and feel harmed and take your emotions and like, oh, boo, me, you know? Oh, my, no one cares. And that boo-hoo type of thing. That's not the way to travel. That's not going to do anybody any good. Galatians says, it is by freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Someone say, stand firm. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It's so important that you will watch what you allow in your life because slavery comes in many different ways, in many different forms. It could be your attitude. It could be your habit. It could be your dependency. Remember, they left Britain and then depended upon God. We are to leave sin and depend upon God. God has to be the foundation of our spiritual freedom. He has to be our all in all. We have to be people who are all in. We can learn a lot from our forefathers who were willing to do something even in a very difficult time because it's not always easy doing the right thing. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is what? You know, what does liberty mean to you? What does it mean, liberty? What does liberty mean to you? Liberty means free to be you. Liberty to be who God created you to be. Not to be a clone. Not to try to get favor. Not to get acceptance from people to like you. Not to do all the right things so you can have a million likes on social media. Listen. Social media is great for communication, but just because you have thousands of friends or a million friends doesn't mean they're your real friends. If you want to try it, call them up one time at 3 o'clock. Tell them you're a flat tire. You need a change. See if they come and help you out. You see, the reality is you need real relationships with real people who are going to come into your life and really help you so you can become free, help you to become all that God has created you to be. That's what it's really about. Now, I don't know about you, but listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles us. You see, this is what happens to Christians so often is that they allow things to entangle them, and when you get entangled, you get tripped. When I was scuba diving, I used to carry a lot of stuff around my waist, and I would always carry a knife on my side. And sometimes while you're scuba diving, there's nets in the water from fishing boats, and there's ropes in the water. There's all kind of things. And one time I got caught up in a net. I didn't think it was no big deal. It was minor. It probably came. It wasn't a big net. It was only probably a net that's probably 3x3. It was just floating there connected to something, and I snagged it, and I'm like, no big deal. But as I was trying to unsnag it, this little 3x3 net that was in the water got more entangled in me. At first, I thought I could just untangle it. I thought, no big deal. It's a small little net. No problem. It was just happened to catch me. Before you know it, though, I was really caught up in it, and I had a knife. And so I took my knife out, and that's what knives are for. That's why we carry them on us for variable reasons. It's not for jaws, you know. Jaws may come. I got a knife. Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad. Good fight that's going to be. But nevertheless, I cut my way out, and I got the entangle off. It was no big deal. But I always amaze on how quickly that I got entangled in the net. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it will free you from any bondage or affliction that you bring in your life. But you have to, whether it's your thoughts, negativity, addictions, whatever it may be, whatever that is, God has called us to freedom. And when you are free, you can run. I was going to have an illustration this morning. I used to do this with my youth. And I used to tie a rope around their waist, and I would put weight, a lot of weight, and I would have them drag it. And so I give them about 80 pounds, and they would just drag the 80 pounds. And the 80 pounds would be all different type of sins that we bring into our life sometimes. And it just, they don't move very fast. And then in the name of Jesus, we cut the rope. And when we cut the rope, then I say, now run, now move. And now all of a sudden they can go real fast. You see, the freedom that God has brought us, we have a physical freedom, and praise God that God provided that. Someone say, praise God. But we have something even greater. We have a spiritual freedom in the name of Jesus Christ, who delivered us. And he who the Son sets free is free. Be free to who you are. Be free to know where you're going. Be free to proclaim the word of God in truth and power of the Holy Spirit. Don't let people dictate who you are. Don't let people and organizations dictate what you say. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the truth, the life, and the way. There's no way to go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. No way. Who said that? I didn't say that. God said that. That's the authority. The authority is God. When I stand on a particular topic, I can care less what I have to say. What does Scripture say? Don't be afraid. Walk in the freedom that God has given you. Know the Word of God so that the Word of God flows through you. You want to know the author? Read the book. You want to know the author? Read the book. Not just read it like because I have to. Read it because you want to know your best friend. This is a powerful portion of Scripture. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with, here's the word. Come on, let's shout it out. Perseverance. Perseverance. Oh, I know, but it's so tough, Pastor. It's hard. Yeah, I know. Persevere. Pursue. I wish I could say life was easy. Life has not been easy. Life has been tough, but in the midst of it tough, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of all the stuff, I've learned one thing. God is faithful. God is there. His presence, his power, he's there. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Wait a minute, stop. Where is our eyes? Our eyes on the problem? Or our eyes on people? Or our eyes really on our Savior? You know, we have all these things going on, and people are worried about the future. Don't worry about the future. Don't you know the one who holds your tomorrow? So what are you all fretting for? Yeah, I know you don't know, but guess what? Who knows? The one we trust in. So we walk by faith and not by... We walk by faith and not by... We get in the Word of God and let the Word of God lead us. It's that simple. So it tells us to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Can you get this? It's amazing that Jesus Christ went to the cross, a terrible way of suffering, because he loved you. I mean, think of this for a second. He loved you because he wanted to free you. I want you to just stop for a second, because we need to stop listening to our own voices that tell us we're not good enough. We need to stop listening to our own voices to say, I can't. You need to stop listening to your own voices and say, well, I'm not as good as such and such. You need to stop listening to your own voices and say, you know what? Other people can, but I can't. Because you know what? You need to listen to the voice of the Word of God and spend time with the Word of God so that the Word of God will speak to you exactly what you need to hear when you need to hear. Do you know God has perfect timing? Do you believe me? If you live long enough, you say, well, sometimes I've don't wondered about that perfect timing. Sure have I. So have I. There was a time I was complaining. That's right. Pastor was complaining. I was me and God. I wasn't complaining horizontally because I don't do too much of that. But I was upwardly complaining because the present situation was a little bit heavier than I wanted to deal with. And yet, after me for a couple weeks, week and a half, week, the answer came in the mail. When I looked at the postmark, and this happened more than once, when I looked at the postmark, the day I started complaining was the day that it was mailed. But it didn't come to my house. And as I'm complaining, saying, you know, Lord, you know, Lord, you know, Lord, you know, have you ever done that, you know, Lord thing? You know, like God's going to say, no, I don't know. Please tell me. Please. I don't know what you're talking about. I am like, don't know. Please help me. And all of a sudden, I looked at the post. And I don't know why it took so long, but in God's humor, it came on the day I needed it. And we took care of it. But all that complaining was really a waste of time, a waste of energy. And I was so focused on the problem, I didn't even recognize that God was already working with it. When you fail to put God at the center of your life, you invite so many more problems here between the ears. And then what happens between the ears will show up in your life. That's why we got to really remember that Hebrews 12 talks about a race to win. Someone say, I want to win. He's given you the spiritual freedom to be free and dependent upon God. And this is a beautiful thing. But dependence on God is not the only thing we have to worry about. Because the second thing I want you to understand is that this independent is also creates a dependent on one another. And I'm going to show you something here. So God frees us. We're delivered. He's given you freedom. Someone say, I am free. Jesus Christ forgives you of your sins. Sins no longer hold you, just like the colonies no longer were held by Britain. They put their dependence in the declaration to God. We get rid of sin in our life. We accept Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, we put God. He's our dependence. He's our focus. This is great. But it don't stop there. That's not how God created things. People say to me, well, Pastor, you know, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? And I really don't need to come to church. Well, I said, really? Can you show me that in Scripture? Or is that your personal preference? Because you just like to be at bedside assembly with Sister Pillow and Mr. Sheets. You see, the reality is that God is the one who created the church. The church is a body of believers coming together where they come with giftings, where iron sharpens iron, and that we become greater and better, that we can do more for the kingdom of God. It's where we grow, because you grow from other people. You need each other. Look at your neighbor around you 6 feet apart and say, I need you. There's a little song that goes like this. Everybody needs somebody. Yeah, you know the song. It's true. You see, so we are dependent, but we're dependent on God, but we're also dependent on others. We're independent people. God's made us free, but we're also dependent and connected to the community of believers. And when we do not associate and concern ourselves with the needs of the community, we're saying, well, you know what? I'm not really interested in that because it doesn't really involve me. It doesn't concern me. Listen to the Declaration of Independence, the last part that we read. It said this, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Did you get that? Isn't it amazing that they took the very principle that's in Scripture? We rely on God, but everything we have, everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, Lord, I give to you, like the song says. They were willing to give to each other a mutual pledge to each other our lives. Well, that's costly, your whole life. Our fortunes, all that you accumulated, and the sacred honor to others. I think this is important because it's scriptural. Because you can hear all the history out there. Listen, our forefathers believed there was a God, believed that there's a supreme being. Many of them knew him personally. I want you to say, that affected things. And when you look at George Washington's life alone, read it, do some wonderful stuff. God spared his life so many times. One war, he had bullet holes through his coat and still survived. I think there was three. Come on. You know, you want to talk about
Oh, look at this. I got bullet holes. Nothing. Yeah, I'm good, though. Nothing bleeding. Well, couldn't. You know what? It's funny. The war never killed him, but man's wisdom did. Oh, Lord. Let me show you this with you. This is powerful. Matthew, powerful portion. So how should I live my life in freedom that God's given me? How should I live it? It's so simple. Jesus made it so simple for all of us. But the problem is, do we really do it? We fail. All of us really fail when it says this, that you should love the Lord God with all your heart. Think about that for a second. What is it to love God with all our heart? I mean, when you love somebody, listen, I love to see, I think there's a beautiful connection between a mom and a baby. You know, or maybe a dad and a baby as well. And all of a sudden, you'll do any for that child. The natural love ability that God gives you in the natural. When that is there, you know, I've seen moms not go out and buy clothes and get the stuff they need, but make sure the kids have it. You know, I know that happened in our family. It's like, you know, we always make sure the kids had what they needed somehow, some way. We made a way where there seemed to be no way, and trust me, the cupboards at times were a little scarce, but God was faithful every single time. He comes through at the nick of time. But to love God with all heart, mind, and soul, what does that really mean? That's like saying God, what God says, is God your first love? First love. What do you love? What do you love? Answer this in your heart right now. What do you love? Is God on the top of your list? Is he your first love? And if he's not your first love, I need you to ask yourself to do something different in your priorities. Because you're not going to experience true liberty and freedom if Jesus Christ is not your first love. That's right, first love. That's hard, to give God everything. I tell you the story. Is I was challenged with this many years ago. Had a few substances and stuff. I love fixing cars. I could get in and fix into a car tomorrow. I mean, just change that thing. But I was into cars, fixing them up. Spent 7 years of my life working on one vehicle. Went to shows, 2 days, 1 day, 3 day shows, World of Wheels, the whole thing. And when God was doing something in me, God said, it's time to sell it. I said, huh? You talking to me? You know? Time to sell it. I mean, I felt like my life was building this vehicle for the longest time. It was all about the Lord. I mean, mirrors wrapped around, hydraulic doors. I mean, it was a showpiece for shows, car shows. And I just loved it. I was doing hydraulic before hydraulics were in. It was kind of new on the market and stuff. And, you know, all going after the Lamborghini doors, you know. And so I never installed the hydraulic doors, but we did it, didn't we? After 12 fights? Yeah, we did it. We got it in, though. We got it in. And it was one expensive door. But nevertheless, I love cars. I really do. But you have to realize when it says love the Lord with all your heart, I had a little bit of my heart in my vehicle. And I had to, when God said sell it, I said okay, but it was okay, but I had a hard time. And when I sold that vehicle, I know you can laugh at me, but I cried. I had tears. I can still feel it. No, I'm just joking. I had a tear coming down my face. Because I had my blood and my sweat and my tears in something that I was all in on. To love God is to say, God, you know what? Even if it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out, you're going to do what Job said. I'm going to trust you. You know, when you look at Psalms, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is the understanding of loving God, putting him first. If we as God people can really get a hold of that, we're going to walk in a freedom that you probably never experienced before, because you know what? God will go before us. This is a process. You don't get there by one decision.
You get there by making decisions after decisions after decisions after decision until finally, all of a sudden, God just changes you. You finally get there. There might be something after that, but you finally get there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's everything in your being. God is first. If you want to experience the freedom of God, put him first. Just don't love anything more than God. If you want to know how it works, God first, your wife or husband second, your children third. That's how it goes. That's the godly order. Because after the children are gone, you're going to be with the first one that you first married. You see, there's so many times relationships and marriages, they make the kids the main thing of the relationship. But when those kids are gone, you have no relationship because you have placed all of your efforts into your children. Don't do that. Place your emphasis on your spouse and make that a relationship while you have young kids. And then after that, when the kids are gone, you're going to have a relationship. But if you do not invest, you do not get any dividends. Love God first, and that's God's order. Love God first over all things, then the step down. I tell couples all the time, if the male and the female, the husband and the wife, can love God first, and I tell them, you got to love God more than the man you married or the woman you're going to marry. You got to love God first. He got to be your first love. If you can do that, then the second person is the other person. Therefore, they both become first. So if you have a man and he loves the woman, first God, then second his spouse, and then the woman, the man, her spouse, they become first. Then come the children, and so forth. But God doesn't want to be second. So you have to be in his word. You have to love God with all your heart. And then once you do that, you're going to have a freedom. Something's going to happen in you. You're going to be all in. God's going to be your first love. And then watch the second. How can I love others if I don't love God? How can I love my neighbor that keeps parking in my driveway? You know, back home, I live in the city. And the city's getting worse and worse. And we have a driveway, and people just love to park in the driveway. I mean, really park in the driveway. Now, the driveway's kind of wide, but it's, you know, and it drives me crazy. It's like, you know, one guy said, it's easy for you to say, you have a driveway. There's no place to park. Oh, so I'm wrong because I have a driveway. And he gives you the right to park in my driveway because, well, you have no place to park. It drives me crazy. So I have to love my neighbors, you know? And it's tough to love a neighbor who just continually parks in the driveway after you ask them not to. But what does Jesus say? Love thy neighbor. Does that mean love your neighbor when they're doing everything good? No. Love thy neighbor across the board. So I loved him, and I called the cops, and we got it all problem. No, I did not. I was just joking. No, I just had him come, you know, taking my perspective of where I have to, and he saw what I saw, but they didn't see that from outside the driveway. Sometimes you need to help people see it from your perspective. Why? Because you're trying to love them to an understanding. Someone say amen. So look what the scripture says. This is the great and foremost commandment. Here's the second one. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets. Can you imagine this? If you just love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, then love your neighbor. How God can really do something in you. You can live with a freedom. Listen, saints, I sometimes think Christianity, there's a power of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit wants to empower you with every gifting, with everything you need, with a freedom, with the anointing, with a boldness. There's so much to receive of God. Now, here's my question. How much do you want? I'll be honest with you, I want all that God has. I really do. And more. So as I strive and drive to become everything I can be, I want to be free in God. You know, I like how God works sometimes in my life because I had a situation, and this happens to me sometimes frequently, where I can pass a stranger and the Lord can sometimes speak to my heart about somebody. And sometimes I will go up to that person and I will confront them on it or say something about it and start a conversation. It always amazes me what comes out of that. I'm going to tell you something. There's a freedom that you need to know in God, but you got to press into God. Listen to this. John 13:34.
A new commandment I give you, that you should love one another even as I have loved you. That you should love one another. How can you love your neighbor? How can you love your brother and sisters if you're not finding out the love from heaven? I tell husbands and wife all the time, you cannot love your wife, or you cannot love your husband if you don't connect with the Father. I don't care. If you spend no time connecting to the Father's love, then you cannot love your spouse because you haven't connected to His love. Church of God, how can you show the world His love if you haven't connected to His love? You know, in order to show love to someone else and to be free, you have to be free in the love that you have vertically. You need to be bold, like you have no problem saying, I love Jesus, I follow Jesus, I'm going to live for Jesus, no matter what the people who are around you. Because I'll tell you what happens. It may be awkward at first, but when they know who you are, some of them will make sure they want to know a little bit more about your Jesus. My Jesus heals. My Jesus provides help. My Jesus instructs. My Jesus guides. My Jesus changes situations. My Jesus changes hearts. How about this portion of Scripture? John 15, love this one. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. You want to talk about independence? My hot prayer sometimes, and I often ask the Lord, Lord, I just want to see two events in history. I want to experience that crucifixion moment that really sees what love looks like. When he looks down at the very ones that just brutalized him and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then I want to see that resurrection tomb when he rises and all those soldiers drop dead out of fear. And I could imagine, couldn't that be so cool? Just to see the power of God, he shows up and they just can't even stand in his presence. Jesus says this in John 15, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because servants does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I have learned from the Father I have made known unto you. I want you to get this. This is important. Because the Lord has delivered us from so many things, but it also reminds us in Scripture for us not to attach to other things so that we are weakened. Who are you? Who are you in Jesus Christ? And what would others say about you? About not your personality, but what would others say about your faith? If you were to die right now, two questions I ask you. How many people have you touched for the cause of Christ? And what would they say was your important characteristics about your faith? How has your faith changed people by the way you lived and the words you used? Freedom, when you're free, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When someone jumps in front of your bullet and frees you, you'll never live life the same. When I think about what Jesus Christ has done for me, I think about his love. I think about his mercy. I think about his grace. When I think of all of his love that he's done for us and liberated us, I was thinking just the other day, I was saying, Lord, you have brought such freedom to us. But Lord, do we really walk in that freedom, or do we walk by our present situations that we face, and because of a present situation, we lose the joy? I want to challenge you this morning. God has freed you. He came and he died upon the cross. And when he died upon the cross, great work took place. He forgave you of your sins. I want you to think right now, close your eyes with me. Just close your eyes. I want you to think about what is in your life that is hindering you. What is in your life that is stunting your freedom in God? Is it the way you think? Is it the way you see others? Is it hurt from your past? Is it things that someone said? What are those things that are not helping you in your faith? Maybe today Jesus is not your Savior, and so you need to first make him your Savior by asking him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and life. Because he so loves you. He so loves you. He loves you that he died and he stretched out his arms and said, I love you this much. Just ask him to forgive you. Invite him into your heart and life. Right now, right where you are, right where you are. If you're here this morning and there's an area in your life, there's an area in life that you recognize that is affecting your freedom in God. It's affecting the way you think. It's affecting your relationship with God. With eyes closed, just put your hand up right where you are. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, put them down. That's just being real. Thank you for being real, because when you're real with God, that's when God does something in you. I'm going to pray for you this morning. For those watching the internet, God loves you. He wants all of you. One prayer can change your life if you just yield yourself to the God who loves you. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch each one here. For those that need to put you first at the center of their life. No longer are they going to be distracted by all of the distractions of the enemy. Father, will you give them clarity of mind and strength of spirit through your Holy Spirit. Father, for those that raise their hands, will you just now go with them as they, Lord, right now, consciously say no more, no more. Give no room to the enemy. For the Lord God has come to give us abundant life, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, I pray right now, whatever it may be, Lord, they would allow your word to be forefront in all things, the way they think, the way they approach situations, the way they live, that they have no strongholds that affects their freedom in you, that they're going to spend time in your word so they may know your ways, your word, do your works, and fulfill your will in every area of their life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you give God some praise?
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Let's continue to believe that God is going to do a work in all of our lives and in His church, despite our current circumstances. If you would like to support the ministry of Salem First Assembly, you can do so by mailing to 430 Route 45, Salem, New Jersey, 08079, or by visiting our website at salemfirstag.org. Please join us for service next Sunday at 10:30 a.m., or you can watch service every Sunday afternoon on Facebook at Salem First Assembly or YouTube at Salem First AG. You can also listen to the message every Tuesday on Podbean. Have a blessed rest of your day. Let's remember to be a blessing, and that life is living in faith every day.